Thor is the Norse god of thunder, the sky, and agriculture. He is the son of Odin, chief of the gods, and the defender of Asgard, realm of the gods, and Midgard, the human realm. The majority of the tales featuring Thor put him in conflict with a giant, or with his nemesis, the Midgard serpent, a monstrous snake who coils and twists itself around the world. He developed from the earlier Germanic god Donner and became the most popular deity of the Norse pantheon. Thor continues as a popular god in the present day too, and modern English and German words for the fifth day of the week, Thursday, and Donnerstag both allude to Thor, Donner, Thor's Day, and Donner's Day. Thor's popularity reached its height during the Viking Age, from 790 to 1100, at which time he was considered the greatest rival to Christ when, roughly from the 10th century onwards, Christianity was introduced to Scandinavia. More amulets and charms of Thor's hammer date from the period when Christianity and the Norse religion were in contention than from any other. Christianity finally prevailed, and the cult of Thor was gradually replaced by the cult of Christ by the 12th century. In the different countries of Europe and in other parts of the world, such as Brazil and Japan, there is an ancient belief among the people that the old stone axes which are found in the ground and the use of which is forgotten are thunderbolts, weapons by means of which the god of thunder kills his enemies when it looks as if they had been struck by lightning. In ancient Greece, over 2,000 years ago, there also is a widespread belief that stone axes and spear tips had the character of thunderbolts, a symbol of the thunder god. Among the ancient Aryan people of India, we find a god whose favorite weapon in his fight against the demons is the thunderbolt. This god, glorified above all others in the Rig Veda hymns, was Indra, who corresponds to Thor of the Scandinavians. His original weapon was the heavenly stone, which was sharpened for him and was thus a kind of stone axe. The northern myths tell the same legend about a gnome who forged the hammer for Thor, with the earth being the mother of Thor as well as of Indra. Both also rode in chariots. We also come across axe-carrying gods in several parts of Western Asia. In some of the East Mediterranean countries, a word labrys signifies axe, and in the ancient royal palace of Knossos of the ancient Minoans, the double axe, or labrys, had been worshipped. And as a religious symbol, it was used as an architectural ornament in Asia Minor, as well as in Crete. The Romans had a god called Jupiter Dolicanus, after the town of Dolic, in modern Syria, who was probably called Baal by the town's own inhabitants, and is represented as standing on a bull. In his right hand he holds a double axe, and in his left, the lightning bolt. Some ancient Greek coins have the head of Zeus on one side, and on the reverse side, the triple T-shaped hammer or axe, and in some cases a spear. Other coins from the same place have the head of Zeus with three thunderbolts on the reverse side. This seems to indicate that the hammer, spear, and thunderbolt denote the very same thing. It also shows how the Greeks, in the course of time, passed from the older to the younger symbols, from the axe or the hammer to the lightning bolt.
One of the most ancient and widespread symbols of the Eurasian world is the so-called Philfot, although the name is quite modern and there is no record of the original term in the literary sources. It's also known as a swastika. We have a couple of examples, such as a 5th century Germanic bronze brooch with the Philfot represented by serpents, a 8th century Scandinavian Viking Age axe pendant with the Philfot motif, the Sondelev stone from Denmark with a swastika and interlaced horns, the Trifot, and of course from one of the most interesting Scandinavian archaeological findings, a 8th century Vilfot detail from the Royal Osberg Tapestry from Norway. Swastikas were also used in funerary pots and urns in the northern and continental Germanic area. They can represent the passage of the seasons during the year, which might indicate the transition of human life itself. The Anglo-Saxon pagan kings also had sword sheets with the representation of the swastika. Or in the Germanic spears, for instance, at the same time a symbol of victory and giving martial protection to their owners. For the Viking era, it's quite possible that the swastika was linked to the hammer of the god Thor. Remembering that his weapon was spun, a circulatory movement before being thrown, or to represent thunder and fire from the sky, which can be seen in some objects of personal use, such as axe-shaped pendants with swastikas. The axe predates the hammer in Scandinavia. There are other evidences of this association between Thor, thunder, with the swastika. We have evidences of this symbol in Lapland, in the cult of Urugales, also known as Thorugales, the Sami Finnish version of the thunder god. There were shamanic drums painted with swastikas. There are also representations of swastikas of the Viking period associated with Hudum, Odin, in earlier times. But no doubt Odin's greatest associations with the Vilfot or the swastika were engraved on Christian monuments that retained part of the ancestral symbolism. The question of the survival of symbolic and religious elements of paganism in a Christian context is controversial, but without a doubt the cult of the god Hudun was directly related to the representation of the Vilfot in the Germanic Scandinavian world. That's the major reason for its survival by the Christianized communities. But this spinning movement may also be the representation of the ecstasy state that was essential in the Odinic cults. With this being said, the solar spiral was not merely a motif to beautify funerary stele, but was also related to a system of faith that maintained some traces of ancient shamanic practices and altered states of consciousness, converging to perceptions of cosmology and being a metaphor of the transition between the world of the living and of the dead.
Now, when people see this symbol, the hammer and the sickle, they usually think of communism or the former USSR, which adopted it in their flag. And we're told that the hammer is symbolic of industrial workers, and the sickle represents agricultural workers, and they are joined together, and we're told this demonstrates both classes working together. I would argue that the symbolism goes back many millennia, where the hammer, as we've discussed, is associated with the sky or thunder god, and axe, or sickle in this case, is symbolic of the goddess, a matriarchal symbol going back to at least the Minoans 4,000 years ago. The joining would then be seen in a more occult or esoteric way as a joining of male and female polarities, which is also attributed to the swastika and why we find many swastika or Vilfot symbols etched on hammers, axes, and spears. The same can be said for the hexagram, a star-shaped figure formed by two intersecting equilateral triangles, an ancient symbol often found alongside swastikas, especially in India, where we find the term shatkona, a symbol used in tantric Hinduism that represents the union of both the male and female form, or Shiva and Shakti. The upper stands for Shiva, or fire, the lower, or upside down triangle, for Shakti, or water. And their union gives birth to enlightenment, let's say, or gnosis. From the tantric image of the sexual hexagram arose a Jewish system of sex worship connected with the medieval Kabbalah and a rabbinical tradition that, quote, a picture is supposed to be placed in the Ark of the Covenant alongside of the tables of the laws, which shows a man and a woman in intimate embrace in the form of a hexagram, end quote. The modern or current form of Kabbalah was developed after the Crusades, or the Knights Templar, brought Eastern goddess worship into Europe. Kabbalists used the hexagram as tantric yogis used it to represent the union of God with his female power, Shekinah, the Jewish form of Shakti, or feminine energy, creativity, and fertility. Also power, ability, strength, effort, energy, capability, and the primordial cosmic energy, the dynamic forces that are thought to move through the entire universe. As in all religions and mystery schools of the divine marriage, Kabbalistic Judaism discovered man and woman to be earthly images of God and goddess, and the sexual union of mortals naturally encouraged its like in the supernatural realm, which also mirrors ancient Egyptian sex magic. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. You can find my published books on Amazon. Please share, like, and subscribe. And don't forget to leave a comment. Until next time.